I'd like to take a moment this morning to honor our veterans. Yesterday was Veterans Day, and I personally did not serve in the armed services, but I was all around it. My father was in World War II as in the Navy, and then he was in the Army Reserve for many years and became a colonel, and also spent his entire civilian career with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. I have a brother that's retired Navy, and my son is serving in the Air National Guard here in Ohio. So I'm very appreciative of all of our veterans. I remember back as a boy growing up in the 50s and 60s, my father, he had his military uniforms around, and sometimes we put those on for fun. And he would take me on his bicycle down the street a few blocks to the armory, and we get to go inside and look at all the equipment. I remember him taking us down to Fort Sill in southwest Oklahoma, near Lawton, and climbing all over the artillery equipment back then. And those are very fond memories of my childhood. I also want to say that back then, there were a lot more military veterans than we see in our world today. But I suspect that will change as we see more and more conflict in the world today. So if you are a military veteran, please stand. We'd like to honor you. Thank you so much for your service.
Scripture says that our days were ordained by God before as yet there was one of them. That's true for all of us. But this day, and that's true every day, for all of us. And of course, that includes today. But for me in particular, this day is, I guess, in a way, sort of extra special, because this is a day that I have been anticipating for at least 10 years, and I'll explain why here in a minute. So I'm excited for what God has in store for us here. We've all experienced, and sadly, this is happening to me more and more lately, I just misplace things. Probably that happens to you. And you're just going, I had this in my hand 1 minute ago, and all of a sudden it's disappeared, and for the life of me, I have no idea where it is. Does that ever happen to anyone else? Happened to me all the time. More and more, as time goes on. I know I own this thing, I have it, but I seem to have lost it. And today's message is entitled Finding Your Freedom. Finding Your Freedom. And I got the title from Acts 13, where the Apostle Paul was speaking to a group of Jews in a synagogue in a city known as Pisidian Antioch. It was one of the very first cities that Paul and Barnabas went to after they were sent out by the apostles and prophets from the big city Antioch. And so they got into this conversation with these Jews, and he says to them, this is Acts 13, 38, 39, "Let it be known to you, brethren, that through him forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and through him everyone who believes," of course the him is Jesus he's referring to, "through him everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses." Now understand, please hasten to understand, the Apostle Paul is not setting aside the law of Moses and the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament is quoted numerous times in the New Testament. Please don't have the idea that this means the Old Testament has no value for us today. No, but what Paul is saying is that through Christ, or in Christ, this is our theme for the year, in Christ, we have been freed from what the law couldn't free us from. You know, the law has a lot of value. You know, in our medical establishment, we're so glad for all of the tests that are out there, all of the analysis, all the labs that analyze our blood and things that the doctor does. Well, we'll send it to the lab and figure out what's going on. And we appreciate all of the analysis that helps us identify the problem. Well, now it's time to meet with the doctor. I had all, they ran all the tests, and what's the news? Well, sorry, I'm afraid I got some bad news. You've got this condition, but we can treat it, and okay, here's how we're gonna treat it. And that's not unlike the law of Moses, which helps us by bringing us to a point where we understand, I need a savior. I got a sin problem. It's a big problem too. It's a huge problem. But that law can't itself save us. It's Christ and what he did on the cross, his death, that brings about for us freedom from sin's penalty, freedom from sin's power. Galatians 5:1 says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Notice, as you know, I say this all the time, every word of scripture is inspired by God. And note that Paul said it was for freedom that Christ set us free. All true believers, all of us, if you're a genuine believer in Jesus this morning, you're part of the us who has been set free. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Don't go back. And it's not uncommon for Christians to find themselves, they get involved in something that's unhealthy, that's sinful, and they, the longer they get into it, it has a whole, it feels like it's got this grip on me. And what happened? I know I had that freedom. Now, where is it? I know I own it in Jesus, but I seem to have lost it. And how can I get it back? The Israelites, they, for some reason, they're in the wilderness, and they start to complain. Oh, you know, we actually had it better back in Egypt when we were slaves, and they somehow, you know, got deceived in thinking that somehow life was better back in their slavery days, which is a crazy idea, but that's, I guess, human nature to think, well, I had it easier at, like it was before. Well, I'm sure that there were people in the 19th century, blacks who had been in this chattel slavery system in our country and then found themselves emancipated, and they had this freedom, and now they were trying to live life as with autonomy, and they had decisions that they needed to make for their own lives, and maybe had a hard time with that and thought, well, it was actually kind of better when I was back with my master. And they forget about how the master was abusive and restrictive and so on. Joan and I remember living in Eastern Europe for 10 years, and we remember Poles, elderly Polish people, a few that lived under a communist system, and a few of them, you know what they said? They said, you know what, actually life was better under the communists. Everyone else is going, what are you talking about? Yeah, because, you know, everybody, we all had enough potatoes and apples to last us for the winter. Yeah, but you know, you couldn't say what you wanted to say, you couldn't read what you wanted to read, you couldn't go where you wanted to go. Yeah, but you know. And Christians, sadly, wake up one day and they find themselves feeling like, oh, I'm kind of back where I was and what happened to my freedom. So finding your freedom is the message title. Of course, I have a subtitle that's coming here in just a minute. But now a little bit about kind of the genesis of this, of today's presentation. Most of you are familiar with our story that we had served on the mission field for some years, and about 10, 11 years, returned to the U.S., and the Lord led us here to New Song, for which we're very, very, very grateful, thankful to be here. But when I was first here, I was meeting with people and getting to know people, and was sitting in a Panera with Paul Marshall. And as we began to talk and share, he opened up his life and shared with me that he was horribly addicted to pornography. And we understand, the elders understand, that this is not an easy topic to address because of who we are as human beings, how God created us with our sexuality, which is a gift from God and a wonderful thing, and the devil is going to try to attack and mar us in that deepest of places in our lives. We tend to keep things kind of shrouded, especially in this area, this sin area. And he had the courage to admit that he was really going through some very difficult things. It was over a protracted period of time. And I can't remember if it was at that meeting, I think it was at that meeting, that I said something to the effect, Paul, I'm not in any way going to push you. I'm not going to compel you, but I believe the day is going to come when you're able to stand before God's people and freely talk about your journey. And we're going to have him come up here in just a few minutes and let him share his story. Share his journey so as to help other people understand that there is victory, there is freedom. You have it. You're part of the us that already has the victory, but somehow we kind of lose track of it and lose grip on it. And God has been helping Paul get a grip again. And we commend as well Edna for agreeing, and she's wholeheartedly behind him being up here this morning and publicly sharing. So Paul, why don't you come on up and have a seat while he's getting settled. I just want us to remember a few things. One is that you may be feeling like, well, okay, this doesn't really relate so much to me because that's not an area of struggle for me. Well, James says we all stumble in many ways. Okay, maybe this isn't your area, but I know you have an area where you struggle with sin in your life, and sometimes you feel like it's getting the upper hand. And how can I ever get free, and what's my future? Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. We are all subject to temptation. We're all vulnerable. And I'm just going to give Paul an opportunity. Why don't you go ahead and share your story? And then we're going to maybe have a not so much a Q&A from you all, but I'm going to have some kind of back and forth with him. And we're trusting the Lord to use this to help all of us, whether this is an area of struggle for you or not. Certainly, we all have areas. So without further ado, why don't you go ahead and kick it off and share your story.
Thanks, Jack. Some of you already know some of what I'm going to share. I never wanted to be here doing this, obviously. When I became a Christian, I never envisioned that this would be a part of my life. But I really do want to be here today. And the reason for that is because, well, first of all, I want to share a verse. John 3:21, but he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Which is not to say that God is responsible for my sin, but to say that when you come to the light, you find forgiveness and compassion, and that we have a God who works all things together for good. We have a God who takes our weaknesses and our sins and our missteps and everything that we do, and he has a purpose for it. He's not surprised by it. And so Ed and I have this opportunity today. First of all, I want to confess to you, I don't want to minimize, because really the worst part of this, especially for Edna, is the lying and the minimizing and the excuses. I don't want to do any of that today. I do want to share with you, without getting into any detail, obviously, sort of what this does to a person. And I do want to share a few statistics, but ultimately what I'm aiming for is to throw a lifeline out to anyone who's suffering because of this, Women who have husbands or boyfriends who struggle with this, women who directly struggle with this, men who are afraid to talk about this. You know, you're sitting in Bible discussion group and you go to the first person. I had some trouble with anger with my wife this week. Well, brother, we're praying for you and let's talk about it. You know, sister, well, I blew my diet this week. Well, it's tough. Let's talk about that. The next person, I viewed porn on the internet this week. Well, you know, that just, you know, that doesn't usually happen. So today we're going to talk about something that's a little bit uncomfortable for us, but I think it's necessary. Just a few statistics from Barna that are very alarming. 68% of church-going men and over 50% of pastors, oh, thank you, view porn on a regular basis. Of young Christians, adults 18 through 24 years old, 76% actively search for porn. The worst thing probably is average age children are exposed to porn is regularly at 7 and 9 years old and before the age of 12. So if you're thinking about providing an iPhone for your child, the answer is no, don't do it. I'm just going to briefly talk about my experience. I think it started to really be bad in the 90s when I got my first computer. It had a role in divorce from my first wife. And since then, I have robbed my wife. I've robbed my family. I've robbed my ministry. I've lied to people and covered up for people before, covered up myself from people. It became a way of dealing with pain for me. I remember when my mom was dying with cancer, I was with her the night that she died, and I had my iPad and I was looking at stuff on my iPad that night, I'm ashamed to say. So the grip of the, when I say addiction, I don't want to give you the impression that I'm a victim, because I'm not a victim. Galatians 5:1, don't stand. It says, stand firm. Do not become enslaved all over again. Christ has set us free for freedom, but I made the choice to give in. And then when you give in and it takes a hold of you, the chemicals that are released in that situation are very powerful. There's a number of chemicals that are released in the addictive part of it. It's really the strongest addiction that there is. It's very difficult to overcome. I know I tried to do it by myself. You know, back 12, 15 years ago, I had a dream to be a teaching pastor here at New Song. And I remember our elder at the time, he said, all you need to do is to get over this and you can be on staff. In fact, I was on staff for 3 months. And then I went back to this and I had to come to the board and say, hey, I can't do this. I gave in again. So it's really robbed my ministry. It's changed my life in a negative way. I tried to overcome it alone. I remember when I was working at the library, I'm just going to fast. And I went to work and I was just fasting for days on end without any food. And I said, I'm going to beat this thing. I'll tell you, you cannot beat this thing alone. I tried. You cannot do it alone. You need the Lord, but you also need the Lord in community. You need support. You need real support, not just accountability with somebody. Well, I blew it this week. Okay, better luck next week. You need honest, soul-searching accountability to overcome this. And if you can just imagine what this does to a spouse. I mean, I think, you know, when I met Ed and I, you know, we told her about this, but I don't think she really understood what it was. You know, I gave her the book, you know, and I talked to her about it. And yet, just if you can imagine the devastation when your wife discovers, or you tell your wife that you had trouble with this, that you're looking at some other woman besides her, how devastating that is. And it devastates her every time. And I kept doing it. And I tried to minimize it. And she would tell me, you know, you're lying to me. This is what you did. And, you know, it wasn't just like this accident, you know, or I happened upon something, or I was curious about something. I've been reading The Death of Porn by Ray Ortlund. And he puts it this way. He says, you know, you're siding with Satan. You're taking advantage and promoting the slavery of women in the pornography industry. You're supporting that. You're giving money to the people who are making money off of sex slavery. This is what you're doing when you view pornography. And I just need to come to grips with that. The worst part of it, I think, is the lying and the minimizing and the hiding. So if you are involved in this in any way, I just urge you to tell somebody. And I wanted to have in the bulletin today, I wanted to have my phone number to text and Edna's phone number to text for men, just to say one word, just to say help or lifeline, and to confidentially contact one of us if you're having some trouble in this area. I didn't, unfortunately, get it in the bulletin today, but you can find, I'm sure if you are struggling and you want to contact one of us, I'm sure you can find our numbers. And you just have to text that one word help to either of us, and we would be glad to confidentially contact you about this. I just want to share that there is hope, that God displays his strength in our weakness, in all of our troubles. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So the lesson there for me is not to pretend like I'm a strong person or that I can do it on my own, but just to say, hey, I'm weak. I failed. I need God's grace. That's where our strength is. So the last thing I'll say here on my own is if you need some help, please reach out to somebody you trust. Just take that first step. Because we want a world where brothers don't abuse their sisters, fathers don't abuse their daughters, spiritual leaders don't take advantage of little boys, and pornography is defeated and driven back into secret dark places and afraid to come out in the light. So I'm not just asking for your sake, but you have a mission as a Christian to, you know, we all are fighting abortion. Back in the 19th century, we all fought slavery, and it was difficult to do. Now, one of our battles is against pornography, to drive it back into the darkness. And that is the goal that I have, that I'd like you to share with me.
Well, again, Paul, I just want to hasten to say thank you so much for your courage and sharing publicly. And I just want everyone to know that that our expectation is not, well, this is, you're going to end up here the same way Paul is, you know, kind of putting your stuff out there. No, that's not at all what we're saying. But Paul's situation is such that, and he's grown through it to the point where he can confidently come forward and share about how God has helped him. But that's not to say that the struggle is over. Why don't you talk for just a minute about how you're doing now? People probably want to understand how you're doing now, and people who are struggling, whether it's with pornography or maybe some other sin, what should their expectation be for the future, that they'll kind of get over this thing and then get to the point where it'll never be an issue for them again? Should that be their expectation, or kind of talk about that?
Yeah, confidentiality is so important at first, because it's so hard to admit to something like this. So, you know, obviously, for most people, you don't just jump out there and say, hey, you know, I've got a problem with this, or I committed adultery, or you have to have that person that you trust that you can make first contact with. But then right now I've been involved in a group called 180 for a while now, for a few years. I now lead the group of people all over the world. We meet on Zoom Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Got a guy in India, a couple people in Canada, Oklahoma, just all over the place. And we meet and we go through the scripture, we go through books, we have a time of accountability. And we also have a group me text group, so that whenever there's a temptation or trouble, or there's an encouraging verse to share, we have that community of people of men who understand each other. So that's been really crucial for me. You can get counseling. Counseling is important. Talking to your church leaders is important. And finding a group of people that you can be a part of, brothers or sisters, as the case may be, where you can be in a community of people who really understand. Because there's a lot to understand about addiction. So you want to get involved in a group of people who will support you on a daily basis. Because at first, if you are addicted, you have these chemicals going through your body, it's very difficult to do the cold turkey before you can actually, before you can actually get to a point where you experience some freedom. So right now, part of my recovery is just helping other people, being there for people. You know, they'll text me. I'm holding them accountable. I'm checking their internet stuff. I'm hearing confessions. I'm, you know, praying for people every day. So that's a, you know, really, I think as you all probably know, part of our sanctification is when we help other people. You know, let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him give. That idea, you know, overcoming sin is largely about helping other people, because you've been through there and you can relate to people. So that's, you know, you take that first step, you get over the addiction, and then you get involved in community counseling, you open up, you come to the light. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's helpful. Would you say, would you agree with the idea that there are degrees of severity, that some people can struggle at a certain level, whereas other people, obviously yours was at a very, very deep level?
Yeah, there definitely are. For me, I never like went to, you know, adult bookstores or chatted with women online or anything like that. But I was very deep into the pornographic aspect, stories and pictures and video. There are people who just go once a month and they're not really particularly addicted. But a big percentage of people are, you know, there every day, or, you know, a couple times a week. So there are degrees of this. It's not the same for everybody. So, you know, it's you have to kind of figure that out.
Well, would you say, this is an issue that used to be a problem for me? I mean, how do you think of it? Is it like, no, it's currently something against which I need to be vigilant and I'm having my guard up, or it's like, no, I'm done with that, I'm over that.
We've talked about this. There are various ways to look at this. There are people who say that, you should be able to get to a point where there is no temptation ever and you're completely free and it's as if it never happened. I think for most people, that's not the way it is. I think that you experience freedom, but you have a history and Satan is out there and he knows this is your weak point. So you're, you know, I'm going to be tempted, you know, that I realize I'm going to be tempted. And I realize that at times the temptations are not going to be easy. But I don't expect to just kind of skip through the tulips, you know, the rest of my life. But I do have a solid freedom, you know, and there is, you know, as every day goes by, there's more and more strength, and it's easier and easier. So the way we like to talk about it in 180 is progress and not perfection. So we are making progress. We are becoming like Christ, but there is not perfection there. We don't have perfection until we see Christ and we will become like him. And if you've got this, and for me, years of this, you know, you just can't say, oh, that's, you know, that doesn't affect my life at all. You know, I'm sitting up here right now. Of course it affects my life. This is part of my life now, but now it's going to become a positive part of my life. This is going to be part of my ministry. This could be part of helping others. This is not part of me being selfish and taking advantage of people anymore.
Well, I happen to know that I've known this for years, that among Christian men, at least among some Christian men, there's this idea that, accountability is good, openness, transparency. So I have this group of men, maybe one, two, three other guys, and it can sort of get sort of to the point where the group meets and says, well, how'd you do this week? Well, I failed. So did I. Okay, well, let's pray for each other. See you next week. And it's just this continual kind of spinning the wheels and not really making any progress. And you're saying there is real help out there, because I know for a fact guys get into a kind of rut like, okay, I'm having this accountability, but it's really not helping me. And there are strategies that we don't have time to get into now that really work and have been effective for you, but a person needs to be dead serious about confronting this and seeing it defeated in their lives. And it's not simply as easy as I have find one other person that I can just be open with and tag base every, you know, once a month or so on, and that there's more to it than that.
Yeah, and I think most Christians, if not all Christians, don't want this. I mean, it's not like people are engaged in it and think, oh, it's fine for us. They want to overcome. They want to get out of it. So there is the desire for everyone, but the willingness to get help, the willingness to come to the light, the willingness to not do it alone is crucial. So you need to say, I cannot do this alone. I need the Lord. And what does the Lord say to you? Go to the church. Go to your brothers and sisters. Get in community in the church. You are not a lone wolf Christian. The guy who started 180 had this saying. He says, a lone sheep is a dead sheep. So, you know, if you are want to wander off by yourself and try to handle the wolves, you're not going to make it. So the most crucial thing I can say to you today is you need to start with one person and open up and get help.
Let's do this. Since those numbers did not make it into the bulletin this week, let's make sure to get that in for next Sunday. So those phone numbers will be available. And on the women's side, it can be either for women who are presently themselves struggling with pornography, or perhaps it's your spouse and you're trying to deal with and understand how to handle that and how to be a good support spouse for someone who is struggling. Is that accurate, Ed? Okay. Again, thank you both for your vulnerability, your humility, your willingness to help the rest of the body of Christ. We commend you and really appreciate you for that. So let's give Paul a round of applause. Thank you. And we felt it would be a good thing to take time in the face of Tuesday's vote, in which you're probably aware the amendment that was proposed to allow some very wicked things to take place freely in our state has passed, even though we worked hard to defeat it. And I wanted to give time for each of the brothers to kind of share their take. So Phil, you want to start? And
yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Higher, you're saying send it higher. That's okay. I'm not good at pantomime. I I have, you're going to hear four different perspectives up here because we're four very different people. I mean, the Lord has redeemed us all, but we all have our own perspective on this. I read the results of the Ohio election, and I was 0% surprised at what I read. I was actually surprised it was as close as it was. I believe in the total depravity of the wicked. I don't believe that the wicked are just slightly confused or mildly uneducated. I believe that the wicked are under the control of the evil one. I believe that the whole world is under the control of the evil one, except for those who are in Christ. And so when I go to the polls and I vote, I'm one person, I get one vote. You go to the polls, you're one person, you get one vote. Satan gets 10 million votes. Because the whole world is under the control of the evil one. So even though I love helping pro-life causes, I actually have some cool stories I could share about doing pro-life things. But if you want to know how am I fighting back against where Ohio and really the rest of the country is going, the answer is I'm right here proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if you want to know what's going to change this world, what is going to cause the wicked to not be wicked, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got to get it in our heads that that coworker you love talking to, but they're not a believer. That family member you love talking to at Thanksgiving, but they're not a believer. They're not just slightly lost. They're horribly lost. They are desperately in need of the gospel message, and they are completely under the wrath of God unless they come to Christ. So, what am I doing with this? I will not be discouraged. I am here to overcome. The message in Revelation are, it's a reward for the overcomers.
Yes.
And so I am here to just roll up my sleeves and get back to work, scattering the seed, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I'm with you, brother. Amen.
Well, I was, like many of you, profoundly disappointed by the outcome of the issues 1 and 2. And, you know, one of the things I thought was over my lifetime, there's just been this trend, you know, a continual downturn, downward trend. And, you know, I know there's been civilizations that have collapsed in the past, the Roman civilization was one of them. I found this quote from Titus Livius, who was a Roman historian, lived from 59 BC to AD 17. He said, Rome was originally, when it was poor and small, a unique example of austere virtue. Then it corrupted, it spoiled, it rotted itself by all the vices. So little by little, we have been brought into the present condition in which we are able to neither tolerate the evils from which we suffer, nor the remedies we need to cure them. So I thought that was insightful. You know, are we headed the same direction? You know, sometimes I think it seems to be similar. So in light of the things going on in our society around us, how are we to conduct ourselves in such a civilization? First of all, I'd like to say that many of you have stood for the cause of righteousness, and you're to be commended. You're doing the right thing, and God wants us to continue that, so there's no change. Psalm 37 says, "Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So it seems that we are to continue to cultivate. We're to continue doing what we're doing, what God has called us to do. And we're to be a witness in our day. If you have cultivated faithfulness, be encouraged. You have stood for righteousness. Cultivate means to shepherd, to tend to graze. Faithfulness means reliability. You know, are you reliable? Are you going to continually be faithful to the Lord? So when things don't seem to go right, wait patiently for the Lord, and he will bring it to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. In verse 8 of that chapter, do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. So, you know, we shouldn't fret. In that particular, in that psalm, there's four sections, main sections, and the last three of those four begins with similar beginnings here. Verse 12, the wicked plots. Verse 21, the wicked borrows. And verse 32, the wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. So, in spite of all these things, God is going to take care of us. He's going to take care of what needs to be taken care of in the world. And we're to be encouraged by that. Thank you.
My main thought has to do with a statistic I'm going to mention in just a second. But I'm mindful of how in the book of Revelation, the various churches, the seven churches that were addressed and that at that time existed in Asia Minor, they all were dealing with different issues. A number of them were dealing with persecution from without. And none of those churches collapsed because of persecution from without. What happened was capitulation from within. Jesus said, if you do not repent, he says to the church, let's not point the finger at the unbelievers. If you do not repent, I will come, Jesus said, and I will remove the lampstand from you. He said to the church in Laodicea. Joan and I have been to Laodicea. You know what Laodicea is? There's only one thing in Laodicea now. It's a very small carpet factory. There is no city there. It doesn't exist. Jesus came and took the lampstand from them because of the Christians acquiescing to the culture around them. Washington Post exit poll said 25% of white evangelical Christians in Ohio voted in favor of the amendment. Now, I think our church is in a pretty healthy place. I'm not going to ask anyone. I'm not asking any of you to tell me how you voted. I would bet my next paycheck, just about, I would, that 25% of our people did not vote for it. I think we're in a good place. But the body of Christ is surrendering to, in my opinion, to false teachers and corrupting influences that are coming into the church. Be careful what you expose yourself to on the internet. There are some voices out there that sound very persuasive, but they are toxic and dangerous. So let's keep the focus on us preaching the gospel to ourselves, walking free from sin in our own lives, and proclaiming the gospel to the people outside that also need to hear it and come to faith in Christ. So that's my take on it.
Back in July and August last year, 2022, I taught a series when we were talking about being surrounded. Yes, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. We're also surrounded by, frankly, a lot of evil in the world that Jesus has called us to be salt and light. And when we think about where we are surrounded in this present time, you think about all the things going on in the world, the Hamas war, the anti-Semitism, this vote which basically allows drugs and sex without responsibility, and making a law that equates to lawlessness, the tide of immorality and Marxism. And on top of all these things in my personal life, this week my brother was diagnosed with a brain tumor. prognosis is likely to be good for him, but there's just no end of difficult things that we must deal with. So we are surrounded in many ways. And so in that series, just to recap briefly, the whole point was, how do we operate as believers in a world like this? And I focused beginning in the last half of Matthew 22 through 25. And in that chapter 22 of Matthew, Jesus encountered five different people in his day who all had answers to how to solve the problem. The Essenes said, we're going to go live in the desert. We're going to isolate ourselves. We're going to escape. All right. The Zealots said that war is the answer. We need weapons, physical weapons, and that's going to save us and turn the tide. It didn't. The Herodians believed that government was the answer, that we need to get involved in government, and that will prepare the way for the Messiah. The Sadducees, much to what Jack was just speaking about, were the progressives. They're letting the culture dilute Judaism. And so the Sadducees there were the progressives, and again, sacrificing the truth of God's word. And then the Pharisees believed that rules without grace are the answer. We've got to be rule keepers, and that is how we will prevail. All five of those positions were proven wrong. And then Jesus goes on in this passage. He says, the disciples say, what will it be like in the last days? And Jesus tells them that lawlessness will increase and the love of many will grow cold. Certainly, this is not just about America. This is about our global culture at this time. And so then, what do we do? Jesus ended it in Matthew 25 very appropriately. He said, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Now, in John 16:33, a passage many of us have memorized, Jesus said that, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we have to take a long view. I've recently been encouraged that if you think just like Mike was sharing about the Roman Empire, lots of things have come and gone in the last 2,000 years. But if you think about God's original charge to his, to Adam and Eve, to be stewards of creation and to take care of one, take care of creation, take care of one another. If we look at the, you might call it human progress over the last 2,000 years, but really it's mostly credited to Judeo-Christian values that have built at one time, a wonderful education system that didn't carry these messages that others would have us carry. The medical system, caring for our bodily needs. And most of these institutions were founded by believers seeking to make a difference in the world. And indeed, they have. So what God has done, the transmission of the gospel, I was talking with a missionary yesterday, and we were just marveling at how it's possible within our generation that every nation, tribe, and tongue will be reached on the planet. That's amazing. God is really doing something in our generation. He really is, and we get to be a part of that. We live at a very special time in history, and we get to be a part. So what do? We do pull through prayer, waving at cars on the side of the road and praying with people as they pull in. We do prison ministry. We have heartbeats, counseling people who need help in a time of crisis. We have our food pantry, and we offer people to come and take freely of that. And this week is National Collection Week for Operation Christmas Child, where we will send the gospel around the world, every package of love on this stack over here is going around the world. And we will continue to do these things because these are the things that Jesus said would be rewarded. These are the good works that were prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can't overcome it. So, what are we doing this week in announcements? It's Operation Christmas Child. It's time to take the gospel. So after church today, we're going to need some help transitioning. I think you guys got the drill down now. We've done it enough times in the last couple of months. We're going to transition this room. I'm not going to call it Santa's workshop. It's just going to be a gospel workshop. We're going to send the gospel around the world. Chris, also, Beth is taking more Buckeye orders. She's caved in. She's going to make more. Yeah, she could probably use some help with that too. So talk to Beth if you'd like more Buckeyes to fund the shipping of these boxes. Christmas Eve this year is on a Sunday. We'll have Sunday morning service, and then that evening at 6 o'clock we'll have our traditional 1 hour Christmas Eve service. I always look forward to what Jack puts together for us during that time. Also, we just talked about our food pantry, our blessing box. Because we were redoing the carpet in the back rooms, we wanted to kind of unload the food pantry room, but that's the problem now. Now we got the new carpet in there, we need to refill our food pantry so we can continue to feed the community. So please, over the next few weeks, as you're grocery shopping, bring some more and contribute to the food pantry here. We can need just about everything. You can imagine at this point. There are details in your bulletin if you're looking for something specifically to add to your shopping list. Also, coming up January 7th, we have something we've not done before. There's an estate planning seminar with our own attorney and CPA here. Phil and Grant are going to guide you if you are looking for that type of information. January 7th, we'll have an estate planning seminar. And finally, as we're talking about the persistence of the gospel in the face of these things, a few weeks ago, we had a family here sharing about how they were going to a country that they were not allowed to talk about. And they wrote Jack and I an email, and they just wanted to say, thank you. They wanted us to let you know, reading here, he says, let your church know how grateful our family is for your support. There are certainly unpredictable times. He described things that have kind of changed their timeline, but not too far out. And he said, thank you for your understanding, patience, and prayers. We are honored through your partnership. So we will continue to partner in every way, on every front, of doing those good works that God's prepared for us in advance. So this time, Sue's going to close us in prayer. Yes. Oh, yes, thank you. Thank you, Kathy. I even wrote that down. Next week is Open Mic Sunday, Thanksgiving Testimonies. Please come prepared next week to share your testimony and let us know what God is doing in your life. We look forward to that. And like Paul said this morning, it might be something that's in progress, too. That's fine. We'd love to pray with you as well.